Now for a look at news from the other side of the solar system. If you've been on the internet this week, there's a good chance you've seen the new photos of Pluto. This week, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is flying by the dwarf planet, snapping pictures along the way and giving humanity its first up-close look at Pluto and its five moons.
Space journalist Elizabeth Howell is here with us now to talk about what we've learned about Pluto so far this week. Elizabeth, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again.
So a lot of the world kind of geeking out about these pictures coming in from Pluto. I bet you are too, being a space journalist. Can you talk a little bit about this New Horizons mission and how we're getting these photos this week?
Well, the cool thing about New Horizons is it launched so long ago in 2006. We didn't even have social media back then. Think about how the internet has changed in the last 10 years. But essentially, it's a mission that's supposed to be helping us understand a bit more about how the solar system came to be. You know, what they're saying is that Pluto and other objects like it in the Kuiper Belt, which is a far-off region of icy objects in our solar system, are basically leftovers of what our solar system used to look like when everything was being formed 4.5 billion years ago. So hopefully New Horizons will give us a sense about what the solar system was.
Now we'll get into some of what this might teach us about Earth in a bit, but first, can you tell us what do you think of the pictures we've seen so far? What struck you the most about what we're seeing?
I couldn't believe the picture that was showing mountains on Pluto, because mountains shows a couple things. First of all, it shows that the geologic activity that took place on Pluto was relatively recent. You know, when we think about the solar system, it's 4.5 billion years old. And for there to be mountains, they probably were worn down a little bit over time by meteorites and other sorts of strikes on the surface. And so something is very new happening on Pluto's surface. And the other thing, of course, that strikes me is that the body has geologic activity at all. I mean, it's so small that you wouldn't imagine there would be plate tectonics or anything on it. Even Mars doesn't have plate tectonics. And so what we're really getting are a lot of mysteries from just a couple of images that are going to take probably years to figure out.
Does that mean Pluto is Earth-like?
It could be Earth-like in some senses. I mean, obviously, it's too small. It doesn't have much of an atmosphere. But there were pieces of it that could be compared to Earth. Like, for example, if we found water ice on the surface, that could tell us how water moved throughout the solar system. If we find organics, which are sort of like chemical building blocks for life, again, that could tell us about potentially how life arose on our planet and maybe other spots in the solar system as well. So, no, it's not a perfect comparison, but there are some parts that are maybe a little bit Earth-like.
And a striking feature that people have been pointing to, Pluto's heart, a heart-shaped area on the surface of the dwarf planet. What do we know about that heart? What is making that heart shape?
A lot of things can make that heart shape. The interesting thing about looking at a bunch of things in nature is that eventually something comes to your mind that kind of makes you remember something that you know about already. I mean, the most famous example of this is the face on Mars, which we all know from the 1970s, picture taken by an orbiter at that time. But it was a trick of the shadow, really, across the rocks and made it appear like a face. And later on, they sent another spacecraft back, and they took another look at it, and it was clearly not a face. You know, it just was sort of a flat plateau that had been illuminated by the light. And so, actually, if you start Googling hearts on Mars and other spots in the solar system, we have found these features all over the place just because of the way that the sand is shaped or something of that nature.
So, just to be clear, not a Valentine from space aliens.
Well, I wish it was a Valentine from space aliens, but until we see compelling proof, I, as a science journalist, cannot declare that. Sorry.
Okay, so what about the moons? Kind of exciting, first of all, here where we only have one boring moon, to have five moons, but what are we learning about the moons of Pluto?
We are also learning that Charon, which is the largest moon, the one that was discovered back in the 70s, also has a young surface, which is equally perplexing because it's even smaller than Pluto. So what the heck is causing all these sort of fresh features that we're seeing in just the first couple of pictures? And they also got a blurry picture of Hydra, which is one of the smaller moons discovered sort of when New Horizons was getting ready to go and going out there. And it just is sort of a blurry picture, but we can look at its shape. We can begin to understand a little bit more about how it moves through space. And here's the exciting thing, too. We're just seeing the first few pictures. There's a whole bunch sitting in the computer memory, and over the next weeks and months, it's going to be sent back to Earth when the spacecraft isn't busy doing other stuff. So these are just a glimpse of all the wonders yet to come.
Now, I've read that as we get this closer view of Pluto, we're getting a better sense of how big it is, and it's a little bigger than we thought. I don't know if people are wanting to reopen this, but is it going to be big enough to where we start thinking, hey, maybe we can promote it back up to planet status?
Yeah, that's what some people are hoping. But here's the sticky thing about it. The International Astronomical Union, when they made that rule back in 2006, they said that a planet needs to be big enough to clear the neighborhood around it. And there's a lot of sort of contention about that particular point, because if you put the Earth out at Pluto's distance, for example, our planet would not be big enough to pick up all the debris that's in that area. And so there's a lot of contention even about what that definition is going to be. But nevertheless, the people who have been saying that Pluto is not a planet are still saying the same thing today. So it appears that those two camps are still going to be fighting it out for the foreseeable future.
And we talked about some of the big things that Pluto might be able to teach us. Are there any other of those holy grail things that these photos might be able to tell us about good old planet Earth?
Another thing that really it could show us is just, you know, how we came to be. You know, I'm really curious when we get into going out further into the solar system about our origin story. You know, like what did our planet look like 4 billion years ago? Where did the life come from? Where did the water come from? And it all forms part of a bigger picture. And one thing that I should mention about New Horizons is it may not have its last destination finished yet. NASA is hoping, well, some at NASA are hoping to move it out to a Kuiper Belt target, an icy object further out in the solar system around 2019. And the thing is, we only have a few blurry images of these objects far, far away. And so we can get close up, just like we did with, say, that comet that Rosetta was looking at earlier this year, or maybe Ceres. We just get a better picture about how things were made. So hopefully right. That happens.
And the Kuiper Belt, I mean, that's an exciting place for astronomy research now. There's just a ton of stuff out there, as I understand it. We don't know that much about what's out there.
We don't know how much is out there, and we also don't know how big the objects are out there. I recently was doing an article for Air and Space magazine where I was talking to a fellow who said, with our current telescope technology, it's just so hard to find anything Pluto-sized because most of the objects aren't very reflective. Most of them are very far away. They're moving in crazy orbits, you know, not anywhere near where the Earth and Saturn and the other planets are going. So we don't even know where in the sky to look, and we don't even know where they are. So it's pretty difficult to find anything Pluto-sized. Further out, we have done some surveys with a spacecraft called WISE that couldn't find anything that was Jupiter or Saturn-sized within a reasonable distance. But who knows? There might be something lurking out there in the darkness. So we got to send more spacecraft that way and get some ideas.
So we don't have astronauts going up into space anymore. We're in this new era where our information is coming from spacecrafts like this. Do you think this is just as exciting as sending astronauts up into space?
We're still sending astronauts to space. They're just sticking around Earth for the moment. And I should mention that NASA wants to send people to asteroids and Mars and perhaps the moon once again. So it could happen in the future, but let's take today. I think this is very exciting. A lot of people on social media, as we talked about at the beginning, are going crazy about these new pictures that are coming in. Every day we have new pictures beaming in from Mars, from that comet that Rosetta is at, from Ceres, from Saturn, from all over the solar system. And we can download them in real time. We couldn't do that back in the 1960s, obviously. The internet was just a few computers in military and large government complexes. So just the pace of discovery, the fact that we can all participate and sort of play with the pictures, talk about them publicly, it's amazing. And I think that just by all this collaboration, scientists, non-scientists, interested people, we're going to have a lot of fun trying to figure out what comes next.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was space journalist Elizabeth Howell. She joined us to talk about the latest news from Pluto.